Let's read together Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have Israel's well-known confession of faith, known as the Shema, and the exhortation to the people to love and obey the Lord and to practice and teach God's law. Let's begin by reading the first 12 verses. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Let's begin our study of Deuteronomy chapter 6 with some background notes. Do you know what a phylactery is? Phylacteries are small, hard leather boxes that are strapped to the foreheads and left forearms of observant Jews during worship. Some of us here just returned from the Holy Land, where we saw many observant Jews wearing phylacteries at the Western Wall, also known as the Wailing Wall. In the leather boxes are strips of paper or parchment containing Hebrew scriptures, in particular, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, the celebrated Jewish Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Shema is the Hebrew word for hear, the first word of the Shema. Now do you know what a mezuzah is? A mezuzah is a small metal or wooden box placed on the doorpost of a Jewish home. These boxes also contain the Hebrew Shema. Mezuzah is the Hebrew word for doorpost. These practices of the phylactery and mezuzah trace back here to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. Let's read those verses once again. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, there's nothing wrong with literally putting scripture in little leather or metal boxes. But the point of God's direction here was for God's people to have God's word always before them. Now, one more background note before we move to our doctrinal or teaching points. In verses 10 and 11, we read, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land to give you large and beautiful cities, which you did not build, houses full of all good things, which you did not fill, hewn out wells, which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. You know, that's exactly what took place at the time of the conquest. When Israel came into the land, they did not destroy the cities. They took over the cities and possessed these cities. They removed the pagan peoples with their idolatrous and immoral practices, but they did not destroy the cities. Only the cities of Jericho, Ai, and Hazor were destroyed. The rest of the towns were taken over as a gift from God. Therefore, we should not expect archaeologists to find a lot of destruction of cities in the land of Israel, dating to around 1400 BC, the time of the conquest. And that's exactly what the archaeological record shows. It shows a change of culture at that time when Israel came into the land, but not a lot of destruction of cities, only the destruction of Jericho, Ai, and Hazor. Once again, archaeology supports the accuracy of the Bible. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, God's people are to be committed to the truth and love of God's person. God's people are to be committed to the truth and love of God's person. Verses 13 through 19. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not test the Lord your God as you tested him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies, and his statutes which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. The main idea of the Shema in verse 4 is that the Lord is the one and only true God. In the historical context of the many gods of the surrounding foreign nations, Israel was unique. They followed the one and only true God. But the Shema also emphasizes the unity and wholeness of the Lord. This, of course, is not in opposition to the doctrine of the Trinity, but rather emphasizes the oneness of the Godhead. Now notice in verses 4 and 5 how intimately associated is the love of God with the truth about God. Verses 4 and 5 once again. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Believers are to love the Lord our God as he has revealed himself. We are to love him with all our heart, and with all our soul, and with all our might. And as the Lord Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, with all of our mind. If Israel would love the Lord in full commitment, God promised that they would be blessed in the land that God had given them. They would drive out all of their enemies, verse 19. They would be blessed with long life, verse 2. The land would flow with milk and honey, meaning that it would be good for raising flocks and herds, and that it would be good for planting and harvesting. Verse 3. But if Israel would not remain committed to the truth and love of God's person, then they would be removed from the land. Verse 15. This, of course, did take place, but we know that Scripture predicts the restoration of Israel to the Lord and to the land in the future. Now, these physical and material blessings that were guaranteed to Israel, if they would believe and love the Lord, are not guaranteed to Christians today. However, all spiritual blessings are guaranteed to believers who are committed to the truth and love of the Lord Jesus. Read Ephesians chapter 1 in this connection. God's people are to be committed to the truth and love of God's person. Doctrinal point number two, God's people are to be committed to the practice and teaching of God's word. God's people are to be committed to the practice and teaching of God's word. Verses 20 through 25. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Then he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in, to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes. Then it will be righteousness for us, if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us. Have you noticed the great emphasis in this chapter on not only practicing the law, but on teaching the law as well? Verses 1 and 2 once again. You and your son and your grandson. And verses 6 and 7. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And now in verses 20 and 21, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Now, some well-meaning Christians have used these verses as proof texts for Christian homeschooling, but that might be going too far. I certainly think homeschooling and Christian education are good options, but I don't think it is demanded for every child. Every situation is different. However, what is required and demanded in Scripture is that parents are responsible for the education of their children, and that education is to be centered and focused around the Word of God. And that biblical worldview is to be passed on from generation to generation, not only by living out the Word of God in practice, but by verbally teaching it to our children and grandchildren as well. Both are required, practice and teaching. God's people are to be committed to the practice and teaching of God's Word. Now, what about practical application for Deuteronomy chapter 6? Practical application number one, don't test the Lord. Don't test the Lord. Verse 16, you shall not test the Lord your God. The Lord quoted this verse when he refuted Satan in the temptations. Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Satan said that Christ could fling himself off the temple and not be hurt. The Lord showed that Satan had interpreted this scripture wrongly, because that would be testing God. And testing God is wrong, based on Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. God had promised to take care of Israel in the wilderness, but Israel tested him by doubting and complaining about having no water. Read the account in Exodus chapter 17. We too can test God by doubting his promises to take care of us and provide for us, or by forcing God's hand. Illustration, to throw caution to the wind and not get your car steering wheel fixed because the Lord has promised to protect you would be to test the Lord. Many other examples could be given. Don't test the Lord. Practical application number two. Wear verses, not advertisements. Wear verses, not advertisements. We saw in verses 8 and 9 that the idea behind these verses is to have the Word of God always before us, having framed Bible verses on our walls at home would be an application of this principle. Sending greeting cards with Bible verses would be another application of this principle. Wearing biblical texts on our t-shirts would be another application of this principle. We have t-shirts with all kinds of advertisements. Why not more biblical texts? Wear verses, not advertisements.